Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris.
Howdy.
Howdy.
All right, so here is, or here was our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on kindness, all the kindness you receive and all the kindness you offer.
All right.
All right, so let's check in with our first caller. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Chris and Ashwin, this is Andrew from North Carolina.
Hey, Andrew.
So I was just kind of doing cue practice. I don't know exactly what to say. I did the kindness recording today, and it was a lot of fun, and I noticed a lot of kindness both to me and from me.
Uh-huh. So you did a kindness recording, and that was your experience of kindness.
Well, yeah, I hadn't thought of one way to hear that is that the recording itself was a kindness, and I definitely
mm-hmm.
did have that experience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting, right, Andrew, that kindness is abstracted to mean a certain thing, but that kindness could just be that simple movement of doing something that someone needs or even doesn't need, just to acknowledge, yeah, here you are. I'm happy to do this recording for you.
Mm. Yeah, that came up on the recording was that all the practices feel really kind. And what you said reminded me of the, not too long ago, the idea of celebrating regardless of the results, that we're not in, you know, I'm going to appreciate only the things you do well, but I'm just going to appreciate it's kind of like that. Like kindness has often tended to mean certain things to me. It's like it needs to be like this in order for it to count as kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right.
For you, kindness is very. We're conditioned to believe that kindness is these things, but it are not these things, and that kindness is only. You deserve kindness if you do things in a certain way, right? And oftentimes, it's when we least believe we deserve kindness that we need it.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
And some of the interactions that... Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, and it feels so... It's like the a lifeline, right? It so opens us up when we receive that, when those voices are telling us we don't deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been some of that going on today for me. Those voices going definitely had a lot of experiences of, especially lately, like consciously choosing instead of what it seems like I deserve or someone else deserves to just switch it around and go for kindness instead, just drop the idea of it. Of deserving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and dropping the idea I'm deserving, really what drops is the I, right? Because kindness is a state. It's not something you do.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would project that's how we notice things that the voices do to us, right? It's that it's the exercise where we look at the karma and it's pointing to the answer. And so the voice says you have to do something in order to deserve kindness, and the way you are is not kind. And the answer there is it's not about doing, and the way you are is kind.
Is that kind of the same as... joy is what's happening when no one else, when nothing else is happening?
Yes, I would say in some ways it's the same process that when the voices are not there, we experience what is, and the experience of what is has many qualities, and we call it by many names.
I think I see more, yeah.
Yeah? And so when we're out of the conversation about whether you deserve or whether you did or did not do or any of those things, we have the ability to experience being or whatever is there when those voices are not there.
Yeah, it's making a lot more sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a switch in perspective, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Very different.
Takes practice.
Yeah, that's another word for it is being, practice, kindness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. And Ashwini, a couple of things about that conversation. One is that it's always interesting when we need kindness the most is when it's least available, like you said. And that it's just not surprising, given what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate does, that attention is all on it, and it has the human where it wants the human, and so blocking out all of that kindness just isn't a surprise. Well, go ahead, Shwini.
Well, just that it's when we least, I think the place that you're pointing to is a nuance on what I was saying, because what I was saying was just simply that when we think we least deserve it is when we need it the most. And I think what you're pointing to, right, Chris, is that at that time the voices are escalating to such a point that even if we are given kindness, if kindness is meted out, let's just say, or we're in the presence of kindness, sometimes it's not possible to take it in because of that collapsed state of awareness that you're pointing to.
Exactly.
I think that's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. If my attention is with conditioning and in survival mode, essentially, helping conditioning survive, then I'm just not in a position to be able to see it. I'll overlook all of these acts of kindness, which are coming toward me, like you're saying. Overlook in favor of what's wrong and how do I deal with it. So, yeah. All right, let's check in with our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in New York. Hey, Jill. Hi. Well, I this month practice, my daily practice was to, I'm actually really glad I'm on because I was hoping to check in with somebody about this, but my daily practice was to seek out my most favorite sweet to eat in, I think I have a list of like maybe 20 of them. And some of them are quite expensive, and go and purchase it and only eat part of it. So only eat, like three bites or between three and five bites, I guess is what I got to. And then throw the rest away.
Oh my God, Jill, what a wonderful practice.
Oh my God.
Oh, restraint.
I have to say that of all the other practices, I mean, this one was like, I don't know if you've ever played the game Pac-Man, but when there's that little guy, he's like eating all the dots, and then you eat one of the dots and all the ghosts come out. And I really felt like this was like eating one of the dots and all the ghosts came out. Like I saw more than I have in like, I don't know, years of just doing this practice. Yeah, it was really profound. It's really crazy.
I bet. Really creepy, did you say?
I said it was crazy. Well, there were crazy moments, for sure. there are.
Well, I can only project, right, Jill? So would you like to share something that you saw?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the first time I did it, it felt, you know, ego was right in step. Like, oh my God, we're so great. Look at us. We're so restrained. And then to do it again, I mean, I really felt like, I just really felt, it was almost like something squirming, you know, I had physical sensation of like squirming. And, when I would do it and there was, oh my gosh, just the lead up to it. And are we really going to do this? I had a moment where, actually one part of that would show up a lot was like the kid that was like, going to, I don't know, we were going to go eat a tadpole or something. Like there was something that was like, are you going to be able to do it? You know, there was so much drama about like, is this really going to happen? And one of the most extraordinary things was suddenly there was so much resistance to it. You know, it was almost like it was, you know, it seemed about it as conditioning was trying to make it about as enjoyable as like mowing the lawn or something, you know, I mean, here I am seeking out like, this thing that I would sometimes, you know, I desired so much that I would make like a 45-minute trip to go and get the sweet. And now here's, I'm doing it in deliberately with an intention to do it in a way that's most kind for the body, which means to like limit the amount that I take in. And you know, it was like, I don't want to do it. I want to skip it. You know, I mean, it's just conditioning was like trying to make it into this huge chore. It was just extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary.
Well, I would project that, I mean, so many things are dropping in about the choice of the exercise. I would project that what you said is there's a way in which the desire controls you, and your practice was to, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I don't have to go into a state of deprivation abstinence, I could practice this middle way where I could have it, but instead of all of it, I could just practice seeing if I can take a few bites of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind to the human being. And there it is. It's the battle for your life, actually, right? Because from an ego perspective, it's always been able to control you. You get to a point of deprivation, and then you could gorge, or you get to the point of overindulgence, and you get a beating. And so for you to experience all that, how you could be kind and just restrained in your interaction with something you want, well, that's the place of the ego dominate. Right.
Yeah. It was the only time I can remember ever in my life eating a sweet and not having just the whole conditioned story around it, because I had set that intention that there was no conversation about whether to do it or not, whether this is good, you know, it was like, we're doing it. So that's, you know, that conversation is taken care of.
Yes, it shifts, right?
Yes.
It's the conversation of whether to or not to, it goes away because you've made the decision, and now it's a battle for your enjoyment.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. I don't want to do it because I'm not going to enjoy it. It's not enjoyable. There's the resistance shifts.
Right. Well, yeah, that there's not, it felt like it was limiting the ego satisfaction of it. That the person who wanted it could enjoy it, but that there wasn't, I mean, I don't know about everyone. It seems like my ego wants to destroy me, basically. Like, you know, I'm not confused about that part. And so to not be able to destroy me with food, because I have had these thoughts of like, I would really love to kill myself with food today, you know, like and so to really go against that. I don't know. It just was really, it was big.
Yes, powerful, it sounds like, right? I don't think you're alone in that perspective of ego wanting to take us out. Mm-hmm. Right? If we choose to go up against it, it will take us out. So long as we choose not to do that, it's quite happy, right?
Yeah.
But there's, and if food is a domain where you want to make better choices for the human being, taking you out over food mm-hmm. is an option, right?
Yeah, and it also
that
was...
system.
Yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. And it also was really valuable too that this exercise went up against, you know, I mean, I have a lot of values that I practice around, being frugal and not wasteful and all of those things. Mm. So the fact that it also went counter to some of those other things, I had to throw things away. I had to spend this amount of money every day. For some reason, that added to... the intensity of it.
Because here are all the rules, right? You cannot be indulgent in these other ways in the types of food you eat. So not only did you decide to go up against the hungry ghosts and the Pac-Man analogy of coming after you in terms of desire, it's also that it went after all of these other places where you are controlled. You can only eat this much. You have to eat everything. You can't throw it away. It has to be within a certain budget. And
right.
you just chose an exercise that brought all of those beliefs into the crucible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Not surprising, the intensity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, many thanks, Deep Gosh Show. It was really, something.
Yes. I certainly hear that. It was powerful. And in these places we could say it was exciting and fun, but I project the intensity is what you're wonderstruck by, right? It's just intense.
Mm-hmm. It was so intense. And just one more quick thing, because, the seed of this was planted when I got back from the monastery in July, and I was so inspired by the food I ate there and had a hand in preparing. And I always feel that way when I come back. And the food was so delicious. And so I had this, I aspire to prepare the food that way and to eat in that way. And so I was working on it in some way. I'm sitting in my house in Philadelphia, and an ice cream truck came down my street and parked right in front of my house. And I thought to myself, wow, this is different from the monastery in some very key ways, that the ice cream, that I have to somehow make friends with the ice cream truck because it's around and, it's every, where I live, sweets are everywhere, so. To make peace with that is or to do something with it is good. But
yeah, well, what a beautiful way of framing it, right? To make friends with it, implies you're not separate from it, right? That line from the book drops in where instead of going, there's not an antagonistic perspective towards what you want to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I make friends with the truck, and then we can work out what's best for the human being.
Exactly.
It sort of is a move against ego, right? In a chess game, it's sort of a pre-move that sets you up for a different equation than one in which you go, okay, well, I have to not eat it.
Exactly.
And then it's a battle of wills
mm-hmm.
rather than... a friendship from which we all get to do what is best for everyone.
Exactly. And that there are boundaries in that friendship that benefit the human, and it's not,
yes.
which is necessary. So.
Well, and really important, right, Jill, because I think you're pointing us to something really big. The world and its circumstances and life and all of what arises are not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we have to sort of ignore is ego.
Yes.
That's really the only issue in any circumstance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you don't swap against that.
Yeah, that was touched on in the first conversation about kindness and how, the kindest thing I can do for the world is to just not be in conversation with conditioned mind. That's, presence is the answer to everything.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you. That was very inspiring.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I can keep going or if I should keep going, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you, Jill. And very inspiring indeed, Ashwini. I had this image of Jill as she's throwing that candy away, kind of metaphorically. She's throwing conditioning away. She's just throwing ego off with that candy and enjoying a relationship with the present and the body and food. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Linda Joy from Milpitas.
Hey, Linda Joy. What are
good
you
morning.
Saying about kindness?
Well, kindness. It's amazing. I have a shirt that I've been wearing the past couple weeks off and on. I ordered, and it's kind. Never miss an opportunity to be kind. Mm. And I really like that. And I think what's really come up for me, I've had some, you know, the drop-in idea. I don't really relate to that a lot, but boy, I think it was last Friday. I had some stuff drop in, and it was like, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to do. Just love yourself. Pay attention. And what I need to do will come to me. And it's so interesting. I've been affirming that every morning. And my change of pattern was to, when I'm eating, because I eat in a very weird schedule. And so what I thought I'd do is to say, do I need this now? Because I've discovered that I'm still substitute teaching, and the time of day when I come home around 2 or 3 o'clock, I get into my munchies. And part of what came up for me was, as a child, I did this. I was very, I used food to comfort myself. I know that today, you know, so it was eating chocolate or whatever. And so it came up for me that this is just a very old pattern, a habit. You know, that when I'm tired or, you know, like after work, I'm in that place where I'm just really exhausted. And so what comes up? Well, let's eat something. So anyway, my affirmation, along with looking at, you know, what I'm eating, when I'm eating, do I need it, is what I've been working with. And being kind to myself.
Yes, and so not to make it a contest, right? That is the kindness. So here you are. You know you are eating on a schedule that you describe as weird, and that it's a pattern, and that the pattern is really getting comfort through food. And so to be able to be in an inquiry about, is this what I need to comfort me right now, is interrupting the pattern. Now, whether the answer to that is yes or no is a completely different thing. Because, as you said, in the dropping in aspect of it, if I'm not run by the pattern and I have something to interrupt the pattern, not in a punishing way or a depriving way or any of those things, but just to stop and go, do I really need this? And if the answer is yes, then is this something that will take care of me? Is a possible next drop in, right? What do I need? Rather than, okay, I'm just going to come in. I know I'm on that in that pattern, and I go after my munchies, and then I get beaten up for doing that, right? And so to bring all of those insights together is old pattern, interrupt, pause, let life drop in what it is that human being is really looking for, food or comfort, and then be kind to her by offering her that.
And what I'm doing with the recording and listening is reminding myself that I love myself. And this is very new behavior for me. It's still difficult for me to really do that, to simply say, I love myself.
Well,
so
may
that
I,
is
may
part
I,
of what I'm...
How do you do that, Linda Joy? Do you say I love you, or I love you, Linda Joy, or I love this thing about you? How, what is that recording like?
Right now, the one that seems to come up the most is I love you, Linda Joy, and then I will kiss my hand or touch myself or do something gentle. And
good.
It really brings
good.
Up emotion, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that that's the way it's articulated, right? Because when we talk about the self is normally associated to ego, and we want to be really clear that what we love is the human being. What we love is life expressed as the human being. So love myself is always something that one we want to explore further. But to say I love you, Linda Joy, is that perspective from which you can see the human being. And you can see what you love about her, and you can express that to her, and she can receive it. Yes, that is just the most exquisite practice ever.
And I think what's different for me right now is I'm starting to really feel it. So that feels good.
Yeah.
You know, rather than the words, I used to do Louise Hay a lot, you know, the mirror work, and it was just rote. I mean, you know what I mean? I wasn't there.
Absolutely.
Really.
You were not in the experience of love. In other words, you weren't disidentified from the ego enough that you could actually be in the wisdom, love, and compassion that could witness the human being. And I think it's important that we practice it. It's almost like I have to keep doing it till I have the experience, right? And once I have the experience of it, I can go to the experience. And that's the difference for you.
Mm. Yes, and that's why it's feeling so different right now and just so awesome, really. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being there every morning. It's amazing.
It truly is.
Go happy.
Go happy. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Linda Joy and Ashwini. I think we've got time for one more.
Okay.
So... next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. I had this amazing experience yesterday with this focus, I and kindness. I was, how kind it is to keep commitments to myself. I was caught in a conversation I think is just very karmic. It was the universe isn't friendly conversation, and which just leaves me upset and despairing kind of thing. And what I was noticing was I wanted to go eat. I was getting agitated and upset, and I wanted to eat. And I saw that impulse to go eat, to like stuff the feelings, take care of all the feelings I was having. And I didn't do that. Instead, what I recorded a lesson, and what I said in the recording is, I don't want to eat because when mealtime comes this evening, this is taking place in the afternoon, when mealtime comes, I want to be hungry so I can really enjoy the food. Mm. And I had purchased something special to eat in the evening, and I wanted to enjoy that. And if I was really stuffed and had eaten a bunch of junk, it wouldn't taste good, or I might not even want it and all that. So I want to give myself the experience of enjoying my food, so I'm not going to go eat now. And my commitment is to eat only when I'm hungry. That's part of it. So meanwhile, so I didn't, and I just sat there with the feelings. I just let the feelings be there. And I was watching, and it started dropping in how the many ways that conditioning feeds that negativity, the negative view that the universe is not friendly, like how it does that in small and large ways, just all the time. And the story, the universe is not friendly. Part of that, the result of that is, according to the story, is that I need to survive as best I can, and eating is one way, you know, to kind of survive it.
You need to survive it. Is that the word that you used, Catherine? That was what I did not hear.
You need to survive somehow.
Oh, my God, what an incredible experience. I wish we had at least 20 minutes to unpack it, but we don't. Everything about it, right, Catherine, that there's so much practice in that, so much awareness. And if we, because we don't have time to unpack it, I'll tell you the thing that dropped in for me around that is how friendly the universe was to you.
Mm.
In the whole thing, right? Because mm-hmm. of the freedom to go through all of the pain to arrive at that place of watching something that tortures you so much, right? Because I would project that place of the universe is not friendly is hitting, we've talked about this many times, is the level of care that you have for things in the universe.
Yeah.
And in some way that story of it's not friendly, let's go stuff those feelings, is not something mm-hmm. you fell for, and you were able to stay with it to see what's really going on, because you wanted that human being to have something special at the end of it. And throughout that process, the kindness that was there to be with her throughout it, the kindness that was there for her to see through what it is that she needed to see through and have enjoyment of that special meal.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was a gift. It was a beautiful gift.
Oh, yes.
It was.
It was. So, it was a tremendous gift.
Yeah.
So you get to appreciate the practitioner and celebrate the kindness that the universe is and have a great meal.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, triple celebration.
Triple celebration. And I would project, right, Catherine, that that's the choice we're coming to, which is let's not feed the ego. Let's take care of the human being. Because mm-hmm. that's that important thing. In order to survive, the universe is a hostile place. In order to survive, I have to stuff myself. If you think about the ego, that's the ego world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hungry ghost that's always looking to feed itself in order to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who you are. That's
right.
What it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So grateful for awareness practice and this retreat. Wow, great. Thank you so much for all the support and guidance.
Thank you, Catherine Deep Gasho.
Deep Gasho.
That was really moving. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. And Shreya, that brings us to the end of the show. And here is
Wow.
Wow is right. Here's our assignment for tomorrow. Do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds perfect.
All right. Yes, exactly. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini, and thanks, everyone.
Take care. Go happy.
Take care and go happy. Bye-bye.